This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute.
Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here. 49ers Plus Minus, Sunday night. Over the 49ers, sixth straight win in Arizona by a score that I forget because I stopped watching at the end there. What was it, Barrows? 45-29,
yeah.
I hope you have all the stats there in front of you because I kind of checked out a little bit. But I'm here with co-host Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Matt Barrows, just your initial impressions on this victory.
Well,
this,
not compelling enough to get your keep your attention for four quarters there.
Sam Darnold went in, and I went, okay, I might not be looking. I watched a little bit of it, but it was a lot. It was a little bit of downtime there. I didn't even know that Moody had kicked a field goal. I was just thinking it was 42 all along. How'd they get to 45? I guess Jake Moody finally kicked a field goal. How about
Well,
that?
I mean, Jake Moody was not the story of this game, but it's worth noting that, he hasn't missed a PAT all season. He got a field goal on Sunday, and he was booming those kickoffs deep into the end zone. You know, this is the 49ers team with a lot of new faces on that kickoff coverage unit, and they don't want to have to kind of even tempt fate with that. And so they're telling Moody to send it into the corner of the end zone, and 6 for 6, 7 for 7, I forget what he was, but I don't remember any run backs by the Cardinals.
Yep. It was like not even like the medium end zone. It was like the deep end zone. It's all special teams all the time. We'll get into the Ronnie Bell punt return crisis too, because that's what people tune into podcasts.
Special
for.
Teams plus or minus. I love it.
I'm going to have to talk to Shanahan about his special teams thinking at some point. I just think it's too fascinating. What do you really think about special teams? But you know what? There's a chance that maybe we should start with like Christian McCaffrey or Brock Purdy. I don't know. Maybe. Matt Barrows, you take your pick. Who do you want to analyze? Who do you want to rip up first? Which MVP candidate do you most want to like say, no way, you're not that good?
Well, the common denominator is the Cardinals defense. And I thought that this game had a chance of being like the week 6 game in Cleveland. 5-game winning streak. You go on the road, you play a team that's coming off its bye. And, you know, I think that there was a sort of an energy discrepancy in this game, but boy, the Cardinals defense is nothing like the Browns defense. And you know, McCaffrey ran roughshod. Purdy was dialing it up. Purdy's numbers, you know, for him, they're fairly modest.
Didn't throw for 70% completion rate.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Cut him.
Knock that guy. 64%.
What is this?
The UFL. but you know, one of those. A deep ball to Brandon Ayuk. I don't know what happened, but it seemed like Ayuk. I mean, if this was a non-dome game, and I realized the roof was open, but it seemed like he just didn't see it. And so Purdy's numbers would be a little bit more gaudy, I think, if that one And then he maybe underthrew another deep ball to Ayuk.
The early one. Yeah, the early one. Yeah.
The DB got a hand on. I forget how he broke it up, but it was just a slight discrepancy in the throw. And so, I mean, that's the difference between a 300-yard game and a 242-yard game, I think. Still a great game for both of those guys. And they both kind of, there was a big kind of injury scare for each of them on the same drive.
Yep.
Where Purdy's grasping at his left knee.
McCaffrey's grasping at his left.
Sorry, McCaffrey.
Wrong one.
I don't want to get that wrong. McCaffrey's grasping at
his knee. Wait, can I get a new co-host here? If you're going to mix up those two guys.
I have left and right issues. Purdy is dealing with a stinger. Obviously, both guys came back on that drive, and then they actually hooked up for a touchdown on that drive. So a bit of a non-issue, although, you know, one of the questions I always get in my mailbag is, are the 49ers overdoing it with Christian McCaffrey? Is he taking too much of a workload? And I think those questions will arise this week too, because he played deep into the second half, even though it was a bit of a blowout. And it's clear that, as it is with every player in the NFL, that this the season is starting to take a toll on him.
Yeah, I think I always looked at that one Jordan Mason run for about 14 yards and thought, you know, this is going to help get Shanahan to play him a little bit more. He just doesn't want to take McCaffrey out until he's sure the other guy's going to run. Like Elijah Mitchell, when he was healthy, which obviously isn't that often, wasn't getting in this season very much. Because, like, he had a couple, like, one run for, you know, 1 yard, another run for minus a yard, and then Shanahan is just not playing him anymore. I'm going to go 23. That's the guy I know is going to get me yards. I think he needs to see it to really start saying, you know what, this guy is the best running back in the league, but I could give him 5 snaps off. And the Mason run, I think, was like, if they got a lead, this guy can get me some yards, and he's not going to fumble. I don't have to be worried about it. I think the Elijah Mitchell early on the season kind of scared Shanahan. It's like, I just don't want to go -2, -4 fumble, you know, and we'll see, you know. I mean, but McCaffrey just gives him so much. He's like, you don't want to take this guy out. I didn't think that was too serious because he was adjusting things. I'm sure he got banged on it, but I thought mostly he was adjusting equipment, like maybe like his brace kind of cut into him or something. He clearly had something going on. The Purdy one, I went, whoa, because he seemed to be like shaking on the ground. I guess he wasn't, or maybe he was telling his teammates he's fine. But like that one, I went, that's a concussion. He might be out for 2 weeks. Like, I don't know. I'm just looking at it. I think at the time he wasn't having any issues. So, you know, I clearly was not right. But what did you think when you saw Purdy on the ground like that?
Yeah, it was helmet to helmet, and also sort of a clothesline by Dennis Gardeck there. So I thought, I thought concussion, and I thought, okay, this is his second concussion of the year, so you know, we can't come back into this game, and this really puts the Ravens game in question too.
Did he officially suffer a concussion in the Cleveland game? Was that definitely a concussion?
Wasn't he in the program? Wasn't that the short week? It was just the Monday night game.
Yeah, I don't know if they said it was a, you know, listen, he probably did. I'm just don't know if they said he did. This would be another one if that's what it was. It wasn't. And then you're right, he goes back in and then he does the same move, right? He slips out of the pocket, moves to the middle, and throws over the oncoming rusher. Did not get hit that time, and that was that beautiful pass to Kittle where he just floats it over the linebacker right to Kittle for a big game. You know, it's cliche, but his teammates are saying it. They expected him to come back in. Like, they just, okay, Brock says he's fine. He's coming back in. It isn't one of those, oh, my God, is everything's going to change. He's going to be out for a week, you know, and all for player safety and all for, you know, if it isn't safe, don't go play. But I think there is a sense on that sideline that if Brock says he's okay, he's going to go back in. And he went right back in after a couple of plays. What was it, 4 plays for Darnold, something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, there was a lot more than that. Penalty on one of them, so that sort of got erased. And you could tell, I mean, all this talk about Purdy and his arm strength, Sam Darnold is the flamethrower on this team because his, he had a just a great throw to George Kittle that went right through Kittle's hands.
And rocket. That was coming, that was a rocket.
That was coming with heat. That was coming with heat. But I'm just saying that you're used to Brock Purdy. And then all of a sudden you get a Nolan Ryan, Sam Darnold fastball in there. It's going to be hard to grab. I thought it was also interesting that Darnold's first throw was that deep one after the rollout. That's the call that Kyle Shanahan makes when he wants to set up a quarterback for success. That's the same play that Trey Lance hooked up with. Who was it? Sherfield. In the preseason, his rookie year. That's a home run shot. It's got a high.
Over route. It's the over being, route. Yeah, he's got a buy
a lot of space, a lot of time to throw, a lot of room for the receiver to get open. That he wasn't open on that play. That was also to Kittle. But it was a good play call, I thought, to kind of get Darnold initiated in this game. Because at that point, they didn't know if he was going to play the rest of the game.
Yep. It takes some arm strength, too. Like, I mean, you're rolling left, set up, fire. I thought, like, what are they doing here? But clearly it was, you know, should be an open receiver. There often is an open receiver. I don't think it was that open that time. But you get some, shoot some adrenaline through Sam Darnold. That thing is going to be fired out there. Any other injury stuff, anything that you're noting about, you know, they're going into Ravens game. They get an extra day, as you noted on Twitter, I saw.
Yeah, they have a lot of injuries.
Who's going to be back? You think Armstead might miss it? You think Hargrave might miss another one?
I think Hargrave has a better chance of being back than Armstead. I mean, I think there's a good chance that both of them will play, but it seemed like Hargrave was further along in practice. He was doing stuff on a side field. He was like running the hoop and really kind of testing that hamstring out. I haven't seen Armstead on the field since the Philly game. So I'd say he's a little bit further behind Hargrave. I think the question for this one might be D'Amador Lenore. He left the game with a rib injury. Shanahan said he got stepped on, which makes me think, oh, boy, is that a broken rib? I mean, that doesn't sound good. So, I mean, we talked about this in the last podcast we did. Lenore is really playing well. In a game in which the tackling was awful against the Cardinals, Lenore was the surest guy out there, I thought. And he may have even had one missed tackle himself, but that came early on, and the rest of the game, he was very strong in that regard. The rest of those guys, Warner, boy, this was a stinker for him. When he misses, you know, he's tall. He's tall for a middle linebacker, and he tends to get up too high sometimes. And when he does that, he he's off his feet, first of all, so he doesn't have that kind of stability. And he glances off ball carriers sometimes. And that happened a couple of times in this game. It happened once to Dre Greenlaw on the tight end. Can't have that going into the playoffs. And this has been an issue throughout the season. Sometimes it flares up more than others, but as far as missed tackles, Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw are at the top of the list among NFL linebackers.
No, they're not, usually going for real conservative tackles, right? I mean, especially Greenlaw. He's going for the big hit. I think my guess, and doesn't explain some of the other games, but I think Warner was like trying to overcompensate for the lack of the DTs. I think Givens had some good plays. I thought Kalia Davis, your guy, was moved all over the place.
My guy.
Yeah, and T.Y. McGill. I mean, he's a practice squad guy, T.Y. But he was moved 6-7 yards downfield. Understood, you know, they're not frontline defensive tackles. They're not Hargrave or Armstead. It just felt like I thought Warner was trying to, you know, come up even bigger, come up heavier, you know, make them feel the defense if they weren't going to feel the defensive tackles. And then, you know, when they're getting blocked, Warner and Greenlaw are getting blocked more too, right? Because the linemen are coming through. So won a great game. You know, obviously, as Warner himself said, high standards. He has going to be as tough on himself as anybody. But That was weird to watch. 200. Yeah, I stopped counting at 202. If it's in my column wrong, I plead my. I stopped watching. What was the yardage run yardage total?
It's 234, and that's the most this team's given up since 2017. Remember, there was a real shellacking to the Cowboys that year. I think it was 40-10. Mm. The Cowboys rolled up something like 265 yards, and that's been a point of pride for the 49ers ever since then. They don't give up a lot on the ground. And I got to imagine that's going to be something that they underscore a couple of times. I mean, I thought that Shanahan's and I think it was Warner's comments after the game were interesting, where they both said, yeah, we figured we might, you know, give up some yards and some points in this game. And so it didn't totally surprised them that they had this game. And I think that's due to the fact that, you know, no Armstead, no Hargrave, you know, the Cardinals coming off their bye week. James Conner, if you'll recall from the week four game, that guy was fired up at the end of that game. He got into a fight with Talanoa Hufanga post game. That's when these guys are kind of cooling down, like two boxers who have gone after each other all fight long, and then, you know, they're best friends afterwards. So it was a bit odd. So you could tell that Connor was fired up for this one. So all that together, I think the 49ers knew what to expect, and I think they knew that they were going to give up some yards. And I think that they knew that the offense was going to have to carry the day, and that's exactly what happened.
What did you write about today, Barros?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I wrote about Charvarius Ward and the defense and how it got pushed around, and how this game was shaping up to be like the Browns game until Ward stepped in and really sort of, I don't want to say broke it open at that point, but sort of stopped the rhythm, certainly, that the Cardinals were in. It sort of allowed the 49ers to get ahead on the scoreboard, and then, you know, they won the toss. I thought that was, something that Shanahan always wants to have. He wants to defer to begin the game so that they can have that sequence where they score at the end of the first half, get the ball to begin the third quarter and score again. And that's what opened up the 2-score lead, and then they never relinquished that.
Yeah, I thought Ward looked really fast, by the way. I didn't know he had that in him.
Yeah, especially coming off the groin injury.
Groin injury. Now he caught it in total rhythm, so it was just basically a sprint. But man, he went right through everybody. This is a defense that has been talking about. They got to score. They got to score. I think there's some trepidation, like don't try too much to score because then you might not be safe and sane. But they clearly wanted that. It was there for them. Kyler was airmailing some passes. You know, that stuff was there. He was kind of looking in some things. He's that a quarterback who's going to allow you some things. And that was, that was like to make it 14-7, I think. And then the Cardinals got a field goal, 14-10. And then the 49ers got the lap, the touchdown, the 1:10 left, whatever. Then the 49ers are going to get the ball back. And Ronnie Bell decides to almost blow. Oh my goodness. I was almost surprised to see him back there again, but they really don't have anyone else. I mean, I don't think they really want to send Juszczyk back there. Maybe just a fair catch, but when's Ray McLeod back? I don't know if I've ever said that before, but they could really use Ray McLeod. When is he back?
He needs to miss 4 games because he's on IR. So I think the first game that he can be back is the finale against the Rams.
Wow.
So they got 2 more games of Ronnie Bell back there. You and I were watching on TV, and I think we both saw the same thing, that, okay, he gets tripped up and his arm comes down and then the ball pops out. So not a fumble, but the announcers were telling us, oh, that's a fumble. So I think that got people a little.
I thought it was a fumble. I think I was influenced by them because his arm didn't go all the way down. You couldn't really tell. So it was a little confusing. And I think Sterator didn't even see it. I don't even know. But that ball was loose, Sparrows. Like, you and I have sat around many times and watched kick returners do that. And we both say, what? Fumble coming. And that one was not a surprise. Do they have anyone else they can do it, like, realistically, other than Juszczyk?
I've only seen, well, they've got Ayuk, who's done it in the past.
That's,
I think,
right. Remember, he was in the doghouse. That's right. He was returning funds.
That's right. He didn't do poorly. He didn't get a lot of opportunities to do it. But you're right. It's been Juszczyk as the number two guy since Ray McLeod's been out. That would be interesting. Juszczyk would love to do that. You saw the Cardinals kicker did a squib kick.
Yep.
At one point, but he squibbed it right to the one guy you don't want to squib it to. He squibbed it to Juszczyk, and he made it all the way out to the.
He didn't just fall on it. He wasn't a big guy.
No way.
I hated that angle because you had no depth perception. You didn't know where he got it. You didn't know how many yards. That's that CBS. I thought CBS was bad today, by the way. I like Ian Eagle and I like Charles Davis, but I thought they were bad. I just didn't feel like they understood the teams, and maybe
that's what happens when you switch it up in week 15. I mean, you know, Mark Sanchez, the Fox guys have been, you know, doing this team forever. I mean, they know the people involved. Yeah. I thought that was clear as well, that these were kind of new guys. And here we are in mid-December.
And it certainly wasn't Greg Olsen, right? I mean, Olsen's calling out plays. He's seeing it because he's so familiar with it. And these guys just seem, well, I was annoyed. Like, they're sending out the lineups and they have Isaiah Oliver as they're starting, you know, a nickelback. And like that hasn't been true for like a month. Where are you getting your information? What's going on here? They had Juwan Jennings starting. I mean, I don't know what they were doing, but that's just what just, it just catches me. Like, okay, I'm a little worried about this crew then, if this is the information they're going to give me, but not my guy's territory. That's my guy. I wrote about this is heading towards them having the one seed. I was kind of anticipating that the Cowboys might lose in Buffalo, which they did, with the Eagles playing Monday night in Seattle. I don't know if Geno Smith's playing, but we don't know if Jalen Hurts is playing. And if he doesn't play sick, if he doesn't play, I don't know if they're going to win that game. They lose that game, the 49ers can lose another game. Monday, Christmas would be the day most people would think, and still get the number one seed. They could lose two games if one of those other teams loses a game, because they've got every tiebreaker advantage. Conference record, they cannot have a worse conference record and tie the Eagles, Lions, or Cowboys. And obviously have the head-to-head over the Eagles and Cowboys is that other team. So I think they're the number one seed. And I think number one seed with the 49ers getting a bye. We saw what happened after the last bye. They come shooting out like a rocket after feeling really down going that by losing three games. And they've been on this rocket now for 6 weeks. And maybe they're a little tired going into the end of the season. They're going to get another breath of life if they get the one seed, which I think now is going to happen. And I think they can feel it. I think they can really feel – I think they've always thought of themselves as the Super Bowl favorites. I think they know it now. They're playing like it. Could have a lull in the future. But that quarterback is at a certain level that I think they can expect at least 65%, right? As low as 65% completion rate. It's a crappy job at 65%, four touchdowns, 135.8 passer rating. But they've got that. They've got McCaffrey. They've got Debo. They just got all these things. They got a defense that did not play great, but we know can play tremendously. They just got all these things, and this is what they've always thought of themselves, and it's all coming true. It's just been a 6 week demolition path where they're destroying people by more than 20 points a game, average of more than 20, I think more than 21 points a game. Just think it's all coming there. Doesn't mean it's guaranteed to happen, but I think at this point it should happen. They should at least get to Super Bowl. That means no more artificial turf games. I don't think they'd want to play in Detroit. I know Detroit surface they're not in love with. Dallas one is okay, but if they take that out of the picture and no flights in the NFC tournament, and the only flight you might have is to Vegas. I think they'll take that run. I think it's setting up for it. I think they're the best team. Like, you know, we can talk about their weaknesses, and we certainly, there were minuses in this game. We've mentioned a bunch of them, but everyone else has more minuses.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chiefs don't look so great at all. The Ravens, they didn't look great. I mean, they're playing the Jaguars right now as we record this Sunday night. I don't know if the score is, but they weren't looking great when I was watching it. The Cowboys, sometimes great, sometimes terrible. I think the 49ers will take that matchup. Eagles, we know the 49ers will take that matchup, especially at Levi's. Shanahan is undefeated at Levi's in the playoffs. Tell me where I'm wrong here, Barris. I don't want to go overboard on this.
You're totally right. And I haven't, your column's not out yet, and I haven't, so I haven't read it yet. But I thought you had an interesting tweet earlier about the importance of the Ravens game, which, you know, is going to be pumped up. Ravens, another 3-loss team. It's on Christmas night. It's on primetime. But they're an AFC team. I mean, the Cardinals game was a more important game. No, in a way. And Charvarius Ward made that point. I mean, he's coming off a groin injury, and people around him were saying, oh, just wait. It's just the Cardinals. Wait another week. Make sure that groin is 100%, and then you'll be perfect for the Ravens game. And Ward's point was all these games are important, and this is a division/conference opponent. So getting the win against the Cardinals is a big deal. Getting the win against the Commanders will be a big deal in week 17, and then the finale against the Rams. Maybe that'll be a moot point by then. Maybe the 49ers get a head start on their rest. But boy, these conference games, when you're talking about number one seed, are quite important.
Well, it's important that two of the losses are to the AFC teams.
Yeah.
Two of their three. It's to the Bengals and the Browns. And you don't want to lose those games. And if they'd won them, they'd be one game up from even where they are in the standings. But the fact that they're AFC teams and not NFC teams is huge, because their NFC record, I think 8-1, whatever it is right now, it's very good. And they are, you know, the Cowboys and the Eagles have beat each other up and lose other NFC games. This is setting up very nicely for the 49ers. I don't think they're going to lose to the Ravens, but I do think they can afford it. And that's something to understand. And I bagged out on the Charvarius Ward presser, so I didn't hear that. That would have been interesting for me to hear, but that's my fault, Barros. That's my short patience with all things today. But
he was the last guy to speak. Yeah. So you had to be very patient to get him.
I did check with the 49ers, say, what's that? It's a lock on the t-shirt.
Yeah,
and I was told
they say?
Nike. It's Nike slogan.
Oh,
so like I maybe
Nike
all
influences
of them
everything.
It just can't be. You know, wasn't what was the Mobile to Miami was the t-shirt after the NFC Championship game in 2019.
That wasn't bad. That's pretty good.
That's
pretty
a good. Real guy. So I thought this would have something like that, and they're like, I don't. I mean, maybe they just said it was Nike. Nike comes up with that. So
I thought it maybe there was some wordplay with Brock at some point.
Yeah.
But there's not.
I just had never heard them say that slogan. Like,
no.
That's why I was like, I don't. I texted you. I said, what is that? And did you have any answer for me? I don't think you did.
I did. Go back and look at your. let's see here. I'll find it.
Okay. I think it was a nothing answer is what it was.
Oh, I said I didn't know.
Yeah. It turns out to be nothing. It's nothing.
I said maybe won the West was too hackneyed.
Oh, that's right.
At this point.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And I thought you were taking a shot at something else, but I was going to build a whole column on it, Barris. I was like, I'm going to understand the true heart of this team by deciphering what that slogan was.
I've already forgot it. Locked it down. Locked it up.
It's what a lock. It's a lock.
Oh, it's terrible.
So whatever that is, I don't know. But
by the way, it's a lock. Nike probably had 17 committee meetings. there's probably, you know, a couple of guys making $400,000 that spent 6 months coming up with that. And we could have done a better job in 5 minutes.
Just give us $2 million, Nike, and it would have been done better than it's a lock. Yeah, it's I don't know. I thought it was so weird that it had to have some kind of meaning. Maybe we're going to find out it did have some meaning, but I was told, no, it's Nike. Way to go, Nike. What else you got, Barros? What do you got?
Well, I'm thinking that as bad as the defensive performance was overall, that, you know, it could be a good thing in that it will sharpen. I mean, it's going to be something that they dissect tomorrow. They're going to go over it.
They're going over it right now, probably. On the
Steve Wilkes isn't going to be happy. Yeah. Johnny Holland, the linebackers coach, isn't going to be happy. But I think it's something that they'll use, Fred Warner will use to, gain focus. And gain focus for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens,
yep,
specifically. So I think that they can use this to sort of galvanize. And I don't think that either Eric Armstead or Javon Hargrave, which is probably the root of today's issue, are going to be out for long. And it's very possible that both guys are back for this game against the Ravens. So I think that that's sort of the silver lining to, you know, the negatives that we can pull out of this this game against the Cardinals.
What do you think the defense is feeling like with the offense kind of carrying them, you know, every other week? They're not used to this. You know, obviously guys are banged up, so, you know, there's obviously the reasons for this, but you think they're loving it, or you think they're like, hey, wait a minute now, this used to be our kind of thing, and now we're kind of going, hey, okay, Brock, Christian, Debo, you can help us out here now. What do you think the sense of that is?
I think they sloughed it off that, you know, you're going to have one of these games, especially late in the year. Remember last year's game against the Raiders was a shootout. That was not a great defensive game by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, that's what Bosa was saying. By this point in the season, it's going to be sloppy. And we're probably seeing it. I mean, we saw it with the Chargers and the Raiders a couple of nights ago. But some teams,
I got a whole other thing on that one. I got to cook a whole other rant on that one. But
yeah, they're dealing with injuries. They're dealing with this, that, and the other. And you do tend to see some stinkers in mid to late December. But, I mean, since the bye, I think the 49ers were giving up 11.6 points a game. So this defense has been fantastic until the Cardinals game. 29 points, I think, is the second most they've given up this year. The Bengals maybe had 31 in week 8. Yeah, you can, if you have one of those games every 6 games, maybe that's excusable if your offense is bailing you out in those games.
I think, yeah, there's some sense of, you know, decreasing pressure when you know we're going to give up 29 points. Our offense many times is going to score 30 or more than 30, you know, and they didn't have that for a long, you know, even the Garoppolo good years didn't feel that, and they can score, but they weren't going to go blow for blow. Now they haven't gone blow for blow with anybody of a really high caliber, but got to have a feeling they can. Maybe it'll happen in the Ravens game. I think 49ers are going to move the ball against the Ravens. I think the Ravens are – that the defense is not the same that we've known for the last 15 years. This 49er offense is going to move the ball. That is if everybody's healthy, if McCaffrey's, you know, fine. I assume he's going to be relatively fine. We'll see what the defense does with Lamar. We know in the past they've had trouble with mobile quarterbacks. I don't know that they've had trouble defensively. Have they had one in a while? Can't really, like, was it P.J. Walker with the Browns? Was that the one? I can't really remember.
They had an issue with Marcus Mariota last year. Okay, yeah. I think Mariota had 50 yards and a touchdown, but that was a game that Bosa didn't play. There were some built-in excuses in that game for why they got dominated on the ground. But, yeah, it's been a while. I mean, I remember Lamar Jackson had a nice game against them in 2019.
Thanksgiving, right?
No, that was in December. Okay. That was right before that.
That's right, the New Orleans game.
Yeah. So it was they're back-to-back away games, and the 49ers lost a close one in rainy Baltimore, and then they go into the dome and they just have that Jimmy Garoppolo shootout in New Orleans.
That's the one where they didn't really cover the edge, right? It was like you'd have the read option and they have the end crashing in. I was like, I like Saul and everything, but what are they doing here? I think they fixed that. I don't think they do that anymore, where they just have the defensive end just crash in and have the quarterback fake the handoff and run around him for 15 yards. But we shall see. Anything else you got here? You got some any other pluses or minuses for this game, this week, this season?
No, I think we've gone over all of them. It was an interesting game. A lot of rookies got into the Cardinals game. We saw a Robert Beal Jr. sighting at the end of the game. Didn't do much, but I think this is all kind of useful for the 49ers as far as figuring out what the roster is going to look like next season.
I think the DBs are an interesting, since they've come out of the break, Steve Wilkes being a secondary guy, I think they're playing really well. And they had some breakdowns in this game, but that happens. I just think they cover people really well. And they got picks, obviously the two by Ward, but they just I feel like they're very tight. I think Lenore's playing really well. I think, you know, Jair Brown feels like he's like everywhere. Very speedy guy. And Gibson's solid. It just feels like they've got solidness there that I, you know, we certainly did not feel early in the season. Maybe it's just the adjustment Wilkes to the new defensive coordinator to the old defense. I don't know, but I just think there's more confidence back there. The Lenore, Ambry Thomas, although Ambry Thomas was missing tackles like crazy today. He was one of those missing tackles guys, and he had been pretty good about that this season. It just seems to tighten up everything. And that's like when they start going against these great offenses, I don't know who it is in the NFC, but it's always the Mahomes thing, or I don't know if the Chiefs are that anymore without Tyreek Hill and the receivers.
The Bills seem to be catching fire.
Yeah, the Bills might be the one, but you know, if the Bills knock off the Ravens or the Chiefs, maybe the 49ers will like that. I don't know. We'll see. But I just think that defensive secondary looks pretty tight. And it hadn't been a couple years where you're like, okay, those cornerbacks, like it was, it's been a scramble at cornerback for several years. You know, was it 2 years ago? They're pulling people off the street and playing, you know, Norman, what was his name?
Yeah, Josh Norman.
Norman was so bad and the personal fouls and all that. So it's notable to me, and it's notable because I think Steve Wilkes is the DB's guy. So it's interesting and it would make sense that the corners and the safeties look specifically pretty good. So that's my one. And Moody making a field goal, which I did not watch, but those extra points look great. And those kickoffs do too. So all the plus for that.
I think the Moody field goal was about extra point distance.
I looked at it. It said 42.
He's well-versed.
Yeah, 42.
It's also his first field goal attempt in like, 3 weeks. He doesn't take a lot of them.
Yeah,
because this offense is so efficient.
Did it go right down the middle like all his extra points?
Right down the middle.
Right down the hot. All right. Jake Moody, plus Jake Moody. All right, Barros, I think that's it for today. We might have a show later this week. We might not. We'll see how the mood goes. It's up to Barros.
No special Christmas edition of 49ers plus minus?
Well, there's a game on Christmas there, Barros, so we will.
I mean, I don't, we'll preview it, of course.
Maybe. We'll see. All right, that is the show for at least today. Who knows? There might be one tomorrow. Barrow seems like gung-ho for this. He's a stats guy. He just likes the stats. He wants to pile up the numbers. And the numbers are good, everyone. We're very happy about that. So hit the subscribe button. Follow us. Do whatever you want to. Feeling very good. All right, Barrow, say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
All right, show for today.